So we are talking about leaders, and we are talking about the characteristics of leaders. As we've gone through these last few weeks, we have identified individual characteristics and then looking into those a little bit deeper. And we've talked about the idea of why studying leadership is so important for us as Christians. And that's over and above just studying about corporate leadership of the church. So we understand that's a very important topic, and we devote time to that at different time points. Maybe it's when we're looking to appoint elders or we're looking to have specific studies on that, and that's good, and we need to do that. But this is for all of us. This is for all of us in learning to be better leaders. Why is it that we identified early on that it is important for us to be effective leaders? Why is it important for us to be leaders? Anyone? I know we took a week off, but wow, come on. No idea. Oh, Sam, go ahead.
God expects us to be leaders, not only when we assemble, but in our homes, at work, because good leadership, leadership acceptable to God, is like shining, wherever you are, you shine light in darkness.
Okay.
You know,
all right, so you shine a light. Go ahead, Sam.
People see your leadership, and they become curious, and they'll ask, if they ask questions.
There you go. That's what I was getting at.
The door is open for you to walk through.
When we are effective leaders in our workplace, at school, at home, when we're effective leaders, we look different than other people, don't we? What does the Bible say Christians should be? Different than other people. When we're different than other people, we stand out a little bit. And what happens when you stand out a little bit? People start noticing. Then people start doing what? They start asking questions. Maybe it begins as a question in their head, right? It begins as a question in their head. But the more they ask themselves that question in their head, what usually follows? Question comes out of their mouth, doesn't it? And because you were the one that was different, that question's usually going to be directed to who? To you. And you have an opportunity to tell them why you're different. It's an open door. You have an opportunity to tell them why it's important for you, it's important in your life to be a good leader, and what the Bible had to say about it, and who ultimately is your greatest example as a leader in Christ Jesus. And you get to tell them more about him. Right? It's important for us to be leaders, but not just any kind of leaders. We talked about that too, right? You can lead people. You can lead them wherever you want to lead them. You can lead them straight to the gates of hell if you want to. That's not the kind of leadership we're talking about. This morning, we're going to talk about another characteristic of effective leaders. What do you think of, what comes to mind when you think of contributing? Just anything. I say the word contributing, you say teaching, doing your share. Anything else? Teamwork, okay. Contributing. Adding, giving, okay, building. What are all these things? That's a very broad question. What are all these things? Are these things not all verbs? Okay. Wow, she got it right. No, that's exactly right. These things are actions, aren't they? Right? These things are actions. When someone contributes, what do? They act. Right? When someone contributes, they act. Leaders are contributors. Leaders are contributors. Now, do we see other people who maybe wear the title that would say they are supposed to be a leader who don't contribute? No, I've experienced it in a workplace. Those who are awful good at telling, or maybe they're not even good at that. They're just good at wearing the title, I guess. But as far as contributing, I mean, they don't lift a finger. Yet they wear a title that would indicate that they should be a leader, right? How easy is it, just even in a secular world, in a workplace standpoint, how easy is it to have respect for that person? It's not, is it? It's not very easy to have respect for that individual who's supposed to be a leader, yet who never contributes. We're going to take a look at, we're going to hit this from a few different angles. Leaders must act. Let's look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. That's right, Sam. James chapter 2. And we'll begin in verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. And we can take this verse and I don't think it detracts anything from God's word to do this, but we could even replace that word faith with leadership, couldn't we? If we had somebody that said that they are a leader, let me show you my leadership. Show me your leadership without your works, and I will show you my leadership by my works. Doesn't that fit? Doesn't it make sense? And in this verse, we have something very practical put before us, don't we? Verse 15 and 16. How good is it when someone has need, when there is something we could accomplish, when there is a way we could lead, how good is it for us to just say, oh, I really hope that happens. Well, I hope that for you. Well, I'm gonna make sure I pray that happens for you. Was there anything wrong with prayer? Absolutely not. Is prayer something that should happen on folks' behalf? We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. Absolutely it should. But if there is a way we can act, something we can do that will fill that need, and we don't do it, what good is it? If you are, go ahead, Sam.
In chapter 4, coming toward the end, they say if you know the good that you need to do, and you don't do that good, you sin.
That's right. That's right. It's more than just it's no good. It's what? It's sin. That's right. So if you are only leading through your words, then you are not leading. Think about that. If you are only leading through your words, then you're not leading. What did Jesus say in John chapter 21? John chapter 21 and beginning in verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lamb." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." What was Jesus telling Peter? You got your mouth looked like it was moving, Brian. What you got? What was Jesus telling Peter? To be a leader, and in what way? What was going to show leadership? By acting, by contributing. Right? Peter was answering him, and he was giving him the right answer. Right? "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord. Yes, I love you." We can perfect our leadership in our works. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus was saying, "Peter, don't just tell me. Don't just tell me you love me. Show me. Contribute. Have action." Right? Yes, sir. Yes.
Yeah. "I agree with you."
Yeah.
"And three times he denied him before the cock crew."
That's right.
"He spoke with his mouth what he would do and wasn't willing to carry forth with the action. Now Christ is questioning him three times to drive the point home."
Right.
"You've got to do."
We can talk until the cows come home, can't we? A lot of things come out of our mouth. Can be much good. Can be some bad. But until our actions speak, much of it is just words. If you are only leading through your words, then you are not leading. Let's look at the example of Christ. Stay here in John. Turn over to chapter 13. Let's begin in verse 3. You all know the account. "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he said to Simon Peter," here we have him again, "and Peter said to him, Lord," or then he came to Simon Peter, "and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said unto him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' I'm a leader. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. But most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you what? Do them." What did he say? "You call me a leader, and you're right, I am. If then your leader has done this, you ought also to do it to others." Why? Verse 16, "Most assuredly, I say to you, a leader is not greater than those who follow him, nor is he who sent greater than their leader. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Christ has given us an example of leadership through what? Action. Christ's example for leadership is leadership in action. Contributing, in doing. It's not beneath a leader to get their hands dirty. If you have someone who confesses to be a leader, yet they are not willing to roll up their sleeves, they're not much of a leader. So leaders must act. And acting can many times look like this. Leaders need to fill the gaps. Leaders need to fill the gaps. What does it look like for a leader to fill the gaps? Think about it from a secular standpoint, maybe in your workplace. What would it look like for a leader to fill the gaps? There you go. If somebody's not able to do their job, who does that ultimately fall on? Falls on the leader, right? Is that what you were going to say? Somebody else was saying something else over here about the same time. Pitch in, okay? Pitch in, all right? Anything else? Any other thoughts come to mind about leaders filling the gap? I mean, you guys are right on it. It's that very idea that when they see something that needs to be done, what would a leader do? They would do it. They would do it. Imagine this. Imagine a boat. And we're going to go back a little ways. This is a rowboat. There are those who are rowing. And then you've got maybe that individual who is steering. And you're cruising along great, and what happens? There's a hole in the boat. And water begins to pour into the boat. And you have one person rowing look over, and they say, "Well, that's not my job. My job's to row." And you have that person that's steering look over and say, "Well, it's not my job either. My job's to steer." What's going to happen to that boat? It's going to sink. But everybody was doing their job. What would a leader do? Fill the gap or the hole in this situation. A leader identifies needs and applies resources, even if they are their own personal resources. Let's think about it from a spiritual standpoint. Is there a gap between man and God? What does Genesis chapter 3 tell us? Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. Genesis chapter 3, verse 23. Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground for which he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Is there a gap between man and God? Yes, and it's called sin. Well, you just skipped forward to my next verse, Sam. So, no, you're fine. That'll put us right to it. What does Isaiah 59, beginning in verse 1, say? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. Is there a gap between man and God? Yes, there is, and it's called sin. So, how is that gap filled? Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. You're letting my secrets out too early, Sam. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning of verse 5. Let's see what the word says. I think it will line up well with what Sam has told us. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. What is a mediator? A go-between. Could you say it's one that fills a gap? Christ Jesus is that go-between. He is that one that fills the gap between what separates man from God, that is sin. About 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, let's drive the point home. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Fill the gap. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by his Spirit. So, Christ fills the gap. But I thought we were talking about us. I thought we were talking about leaders. How do we know Christ? Let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Beginning verse 1. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and here it is again, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I am speaking the truth in Christ and not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. What was Paul saying here? Paul was saying that there is a gap between man and God, that Christ Jesus is the gap filler as the mediator, and I am who? The one to teach you about it. We don't claim to be that mediator. We don't claim to be that gap filler between God and man. We don't take away sin, yet what can we do as leaders? How do we help fill that gap? We teach about the one who can, right? How about Acts chapter 8, verse 31? What did the Ethiopian eunuch say? when asked, "Do you understand what you were reading?" Verse 30, what was his response? "How can I unless someone guides me?" Even someone who had Scripture open was searching of his own desire. He needed a teacher, didn't he? Now we can also, as was mentioned by Paul in 1 Timothy, look at Colossians, verse 1. Beginning in chapter 9. "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord and fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." What was Paul saying to the church here? "I'm going to pray for you. I'm praying for you. I've been praying for you that you would have knowledge of God." But was that where it was left? Doesn't that go back to where we started, which was, "I'm going to pray that you guys know God. When we meet someone, I'm going to pray that you know God. Be warmed and filled." What had Paul already done? What had Paul put into place for others to do as he was not there? Verse 7, "As you also learn from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf." What was also happening for these people? They were being taught. Action was taking place. Now, prayer is a great action. We are not taking anything away from that. Prayer is needed on behalf of those who are seeking God. But what if Paul had only stopped there when he had opportunity to act and be a leader that was contributing and put other leaders in place that could contribute and teach? Our last point here, we're going to roll through kind of quickly. We've got just a few minutes. I want you to think about this. It was something that was brought to mind when Brother Moore was speaking. I believe this was on Monday night. And I wrote a note down here beside my notes. Think big and act small. Think big, act small. Big is heaven. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, we can't even comprehend that big, right? Big is heaven. What is small? Daily pleasing God. What does it say in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." In our small daily actions, if we are focused on doing them for God and glorifying him, we're thinking big and acting small. Are we going to, in our life, do some grand single thing that will open the gates of heaven to us? No, we're not. It is a daily walk with Christ where we are focusing on those little things. Think big and act small. When you think about the timeline of your life, depending on which way you're looking at it, it can be a perfectly straight line. Here's what I mean. Look back. I started a family of beautiful children. I married Abby. I moved to Greenville. Graduated from University of Memphis. Grew up in Collierville, Tennessee. Was born in Jackson, Tennessee. If you're looking at it that direction, it's a perfectly straight line, isn't it? This happened, and this happened. What happens when you look at it this way? Grew up in Collierville. Was going to go to UT Martin. Had everything. I had my room, my roommate, everything signed up, classes registered, good. Decided to go to Freed Hardeman. Met a girl. Different girl. Decided I was going to move back to Memphis. I moved to Memphis. Went to University of Memphis. Graduated from there. Was looking at job offers everywhere from Boston to Tucson, Arizona. My mom got sick. Wanted to be closer to Memphis. Moved to Nashville. Mom got better. Started thinking more about moving off somewhere. Never really was a homebody. Decided to go visit my brother one weekend. Visited Neil in Greenville, South Carolina. That was on a Saturday, Sunday. I moved here on Tuesday. This direction. This young lady came home on Thanksgiving to visit her family from school, and we met. I decided this is a pretty cool place. I'm going to hang out here for a while. Married her a few months later. Decided we were going to have kids. Had one, had two, 6 years later, had a third one. You see what I'm saying here? We can look back and say, oh man, it was just like that, right? No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. What's the point of a goal? What's the point of a goal? So you can act appropriately in the moment. The point of a goal is so you can act appropriately in the moment. If that's where I want to be, then I know that this much closer, I've got to do this. And then this much closer, I've got to do this. And this much closer. And then right now, today, here's what I have to do. We're think big for heaven. But we've got to make sure that our actions today, right now, are appropriate for that goal. We can't get overwhelmed by what's coming and further down. We've got to make sure that we are acting in a way now appropriate for the goal of heaven. And one of the ways we can do that is to make sure that we are being contributing leaders. We're working. We are acting in a way that's consistent with our words. Nothing wrong with saying the right things. But as leaders, we better be making sure that we're doing the right things. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for listening to the Augusta Road Church of Christ. Located in Greenville, South Carolina, the Augusta Road congregation worships God in spirit and in truth in a friendly and loving environment. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching for Augusta Road COC. And if you're ever in Greenville, South Carolina, we would love for you to come by for a visit.